Okay, good afternoon. Let's see. So we were looking at equivalence relations last time, and I believe I was just finished sketching, but had yet to write out the details of a proof. So maybe I'll finish up with that proof and then continue with equivalence relations. And in particular, there's another viewpoint on equivalence relations, which is in terms of partitions. And so I want to do that comparison today. All right, so let's see. So I have here on, in my notes from last time, the proof that I was in the middle of, which is that as written here, a relation R on a set A is symmetric if and only if R is equal to R inverse. And we kind of sketched out the logic required over here. And so now let me just sort of write that all out into a proof. Canvas. Okay, we're good. All right. So okay, so let's see. So we recall the logic over here. We have a if and only if here, right? And so we're going to go both directions. So first we're going to assume this left-hand side and then prove this. And this is an equality. So for this side, I need to prove a containment in both directions, okay? So that's the first thing to do. So assume the initial data that we're supposed to have. So we have R as a symmetric relation on A. Okay, and then we're going to try to prove that we have this equality here. So I'm going to assume that I have an element here and try to prove that it's in there. Relation A, and so an element of a relation that's a pair. So I have something like a comma b is in R. Okay, and I want to show that it's also in R inverse. Okay, so A comma B in R is the same as saying that A R B, okay, and R is symmetric, so that tells me that that's implies B R A, okay, by symmetry. Of R, so. All right, and then just by the definition of inverse, I can switch those around and change it to the inverse. So A R inverse B, okay. And so I'm done. So A comma R is in R inverse. Therefore, we've shown that R is a subset of R inverse. Okay, so that's one of the things that we had to show. The other thing we had to show is the other direction. Assume R is symmetric on A, and we have A comma B in R inverse. Then we want to show that it's in R. Okay, so hence, so there's a lot of things to check. So hence, a new sentence. Hence, we have that A R inverse B. So, by the definition of R inverse, we have that B R A. And so, since R is symmetric, we have A R B, and that's what we wanted. So, we have that A B is an element of R. Okay, we started with something in R inverse, we got something in R, so we have, therefore, R inverse is a subset, well, actually, since I've done both directions now, let me say equals R. Okay, so now I've got both directions. Okay, so let's see, so what did that do? So that was, when I go back to my logic here, all this logic to keep track of, this is if and only if, I did this direction. Okay, so now I have to go the other direction, and I'll be done. So now, okay, so now for this direction, I will assume the right-hand side. So that is R is equal to R inverse. Okay, and now I want to show that a relation is symmetric. So to be symmetric, I have to assume that I have AB in R, and I want to see that BA is in R. And so for symmetry, A, R, B. Okay, hence AB is in R, which is equal to R inverse. So I have that AB is in R inverse. So I have A R inverse B, and then by the definition of R inverse, I have B R A, which was what we wanted to show. Therefore, R is symmetric. QED. Okay, so most of it is keeping track of the logic. There's all that logic you have to keep track of. We have an if and only if, we have an equals, we have the conditional, we have the definition of symmetric, which involves an existential quantifier, but that's all of it. So any questions about that proof? Okay. All right, so that's a proof. So then, as I said, I wanted to go on to looking at another viewpoint on equivalence relations. And to do that, the first thing to do is to add a new piece of notation. And I'm going to define this for any relation, but it's most useful in equivalence relations. So if we any relation on a set, so from A back to itself. So if we have a relation on a set, R is a relation on a set A. Okay. Then I'm going to write I'm going to define two different things. I'm going to define a bunch of sets, really. So define. So for all X. Well, maybe I'll write as if instead of for all. I mean, it's the same, but sounds a better sentence. So if we have X in R, then I'll write X bar for all the things that X is equivalent to, X relates to. So this is the set of all Y in A such that X is related to Y. Okay. All right. And and then I'm going to get a family of sets, which is all of those X bars. And so I'm going to write that, and the way to write that is A mod R. And the way to think about it is a quotient, but it's actually just a set of sets. And it's just going to be the set of all X bar, such that X is in A. This is a family of subsets of A. Okay, and it's a little bit confusing, I think, to think about that definition without an example. So let me do a few examples. Let me do these five examples. So examples. Let me start with something that's not an equivalence relation, just to get a feel for it. Actually, let me do two, and you can tell me which one is and which one isn't. So I have R is equal to, and the way I'm going to give it is by its directed graph, because it's just a finite one and it's small. So I'm going to take this directed graph, and I'm going to label that node one, and these two will be two and three. And I'm going to take one arrow each direction here, and then loops on the 2 and the 3 to be my R. And S is going to be a relation on the same set, but instead of that, and it's almost the same, except instead of an arrow from 1 to itself, I'm going to have an arrow from 1 to 2. Everything else is the same. So they have the same number of elements. Okay, so when I use this notation, is it clear on what set this R and S are relations? I hope that's clear. So it's how that notation works. Right, it's a set on these labels, right? So that's the set. That's the underlying set for my relation. So the set A is just 1, 2, 3. And similarly here. So R and S are both such relations. Okay, and I want to work out what A mod R and A mod S are. So which of these is an equivalence relation? One is and one isn't.
Would R be the equivalence relation?
Yes, that's correct. Okay, so does everyone agree with that? R is the equivalence relation. And so, that one's going to be nicer, but I can define these things in both cases. So let me just do that. So let me just compute one. So let me take it. The first one is the one that is an equivalence relation. So this is equivalence. This is not equivalence. Okay. And now I can try to write out what this A mod R is. And it says over here that it's supposed to be the set of these X bars, and each X bar is a set, right? So it's a set of sets, it's a family of sets, and it's the set, okay? And so now I have to have a bunch of sets, all right? And so for each element of A, so 1, 2, and 3, I'm gonna get a set, okay? So the first thing I can do is I can write down one bar. So can anyone see what set one bar is?
It would just be the pair 1, 1, right?
Yeah, just one all by itself. That's right. Because 1, 1, 1 is the only thing one is related to, right? So just 1, 1. And so, and we're just going to use the second element of that pair to be our thing. So it's going to be the singleton 1, and this is going to be 1 bar, right? Coming from that pair 1, 1. All right. And what about the set associated to 2? The 2 bar.
So would it be 2, 3?
That's right, because 2 goes to 2 and 2 goes to 3, right? So I get the 2 and the 3. So that gives me this new set here is a 2, 3. Okay, and what about 3 bar?
Would it also be 2, 3?
Yes, that's right. And that's the interesting thing about these is that they're not always different. So in this case, this is also the same set. So A mod R has only 2 sets in it, right? Because 2 bar and 3 bar are the same, even though there are 3 elements in S, okay? Okay, great. And what about A mod, this non-equivalence relation? How is that different from the previous one?
Would it be all 1, 2, and 3?
Well, so it's sets of sets, right? So I need a bunch of sets, right? And so, once again, what I have to do is I have to compute what 1 bar, 2 bar, and 3 bar are, and those will all be my sets. And so, question to ask yourself is which of those change? So I took this loop and replaced it with that arrow there, and otherwise it stayed the same. So which
only sorry? bar only one bar changes.
That's right. That's right. Only one bar changes. And what does it turn into?
Two.
Correct. Okay, so so we have one bar now becomes just the singleton two, because that's the only thing that one is related to. But two bar and three bar remain the same, because they remain related to two and three. So they remain the pair two, three. Any questions about that notation? Okay, let me try a few that use some bigger sets just to get a bit of a feel for those. So let me try let's see, let me do this one. Let me say that V is equal to a relation, and it's gonna be, this time it's infinite, so I'll draw it as a with an equation, although I actually could draw a drawing for this one if I wanted to. But let me take x comma y in z squared, so pairs in z squared, pairs in z, and I'm going to take x squared is equal to y squared. So we've seen this one before, only over R. So this is a relation on R, I'm sorry, on z. Okay, and actually I can draw it. Let me draw it. So if I tried to draw it here, what would it look like? So if I have the numbers 1, 2, 3, and they keep going, minus 1, -2, -3. Okay, so one, so say 0, for example, is related to itself because it's, because 0 has the same square as 0. In fact, everything is related to itself because everything always has its same square. But also one is related to minus one, and minus one is related to one. So I get arrows both ways. And now it gets a little harder to draw, but hopefully you get the idea. So these things go back and forth like that, right? So that's a sketch of what my relation looks like in terms of a diagram. Okay, very good. So now what is A mod? So A now is Z. So so let me write it that way. So let me take a Z here, that's my set A, and I'm gonna take its mod V. It's a set of sets, right? These are always families, set families. All right, and can anyone say what an element of that looks like?
Wouldn't it also still be Z, but like.
So what I need to end up with are subsets of Z, right? So I need to have a list of subsets of Z, right? So this quotient is always a set of sets, right? It's always a family, and so.
So would it be like, bracket. -3, -2.
Oh, I see. Like this. You mean?
Yeah.
Close, but not quite. And can anyone see what's slightly different? That's close.
Would it be like, so like for 0, it would just be bracket 0, and then 1, it would be 1 and -1.
That's right. Okay, so does that make sense? Because so they're not all different because one is related to -1 and -1 is related to 1. Okay, let me write that in a permanent color here. So this is 0, and that one is there because it's 0 bar. And then there's a 1 and -1 together. And those are there both because they're 1 bar and because they're -1 bar, right? And then 2 and -2, et cetera.
How do you write the et cetera thing? Just dot, dot, dot.
How would I write it? Yeah. I did it this way just now, but here's how I would write it. So another way to write that is it's the set of all, and actually there's a couple ways. Let me write it two ways. So I can write it as a set of all pairs n and minus n, such that n is in z. I could write that. It's a little bit misleading though, because now I've indexed my sets more than once, okay, which is a little bit misleading. So I would prefer, although this is correct, I would prefer to write this as the singleton zero, because that one's different. Union, the set of all pairs n comma minus n. And if I want to just index them once, which n's should I use? I can just use the positive, yeah. So just n.
Yeah, n, yeah.
Okay, so that's probably the cleanest way to write it.
Is zero common zero not just zero?
Yes, it is. So this is correct. This is correct.
Okay.
But this is, it's clearer, I think, because it. Okay, so that is how I would write the et cetera. All right. Yes.
Uh-huh. Is there a set where it's like the natural numbers, but with zero?
Yeah, those are usually called the whole numbers.
Whole numbers?
That's a name for it, yeah.
So if you change the z into like whole numbers, would...
That would also be correct. That's another way to write it. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right, let me try one more here. So let me take u, and this will be another relation on the integers. Okay, and this one is got lots of edges, so it's easier to write it with a formula than trying to draw out my digraphs. Let me just do the formula. So x comma y in z squared, because I told you that's where it was. All right. And I want that 3 divides x minus 1. Okay. This is actually one of the most common types, and we're going to make use of this one in more detail next week. All right. But let's just look at what it looks like here. Okay. And so this is a relation on Z again, which you can read off from the fact that there are pairs in Z squared. So that's a relation on Z. Okay, so then we can try to figure out what Z mod U is. Okay, and again, it's always a set of sets. Okay, and so there needs to be a brace there. In fact, I need one more. It's going to be a set of sets. All right. But can anyone identify what one of those sets looks like?
So would 3 and 0 be one of them?
So 3 and 0 are there, but there's something else that's also equivalent to 3 and 0. What else? Actually, lots of things.
One sec.
Right. So these are both there. Let's say because 3 relates by u to 3. Okay, because the difference is 0, which is divisible by 3. But 3 also relates by u to 0 because the difference is 3, which is divisible by 3. But what else does 3 relate by u to?
It's 6, 9, mm-hmm.
That's 12. Right. Yeah, all the multiples.
That includes negatives, right?
And it includes the negatives, yeah. Negative 3. Correct. So I should have 6, 9, 12, and negative 3, etc., which is not the best way to organize it, but that's what it is. It's all the multiples of 3, okay? So this is equal to, well, I wrote it here. This is 3 bar, right? But it's what else bar would it be?
Would also be 0 bar, mm-hmm. 6 bar.
In fact, all those so things on. In there, right, are going to be the same set. All the things that are multiples of 3 will be one of the sets in this family. Does that make sense? Okay, and let's keep going. So what else is in this family?
One, two, one, five.
So I want things.
One, one, four, seven, ten.
Right. Everyone see that? And then there's some negative numbers. What would be a negative number?
Negative five?
Yes. There's an easier one, though, a negative two, but negative five is there. Yeah. So these are all the ones that differ by one. And so by one from multiple of 3. So this is a 1 bar, or it's also 4 bar, and it's minus 2 bar.
It's all bars. Would it be 2 bar instead?
No, so 2 bar is different. 2 bar is another set. That's the last one. There are 3 sets in here.
Oh, 2 bar. It's minus.
2 bar is the next one. Yeah.
Sorry.
Minus 2 is there, but not 2. Right. Okay, so that's a little messy looking. Let me try to write it more tidily, but is it clear what the answer is? So it has, there are just 3 sets in Z mod U, but they're big sets, 3 big sets in Z mod U. Okay, so that's what it looks like. So if I try to write that a little more cleanly, so Z mod U is equal to, so it's got these 3 sets. Well, I guess by far the shortest way to write it is something like this. That's short. Okay, but it's not very explicit. Let me try to be a little bit more explicit. So it's also equal to the set. This is all the set of all n such that 3 divides n. Well, maybe I'll write it as 3, the set of all 3n. Such that n is in Z. And a second will be the set of all 3n plus 1, such that n is in Z. And the third one is the set of all 3n plus 2. So that's an explicit way to write it out without any dot, dot, dots. Okay, any questions about this notation?
Is it possible to like simplify that further, like bracket of 3n plus s, where n is in Z and
yes, actually it is.
S is in like a set of 1, 2, 3, or
yes,
not one, yeah, 1, 2, 0, 1, 2.
Yeah, you do have to be a little careful, but you're right. There is a way to do that. So it's a set of sets that look like 3n plus s such that n is in Z. And now you have to be careful where your brackets go, right? Because this one has to be here, right? And then such that, and then you have to put in what the s's are. And so the s is in the set, in this case, 0, 1, and 2. So that's another way to write that out. And if I'd chosen a number like 17 instead of 3, this second one would be a shorter, a considerably shorter way to write it. Right. Okay, any other questions about this example? Okay, so these collections of sets are in the cases of equivalence relations. Oh, so by the way, these that I've given you, V, U, and U, are both equivalence relations, and so was R. So only S was not. So note that U and V were both equivalence relations. And there's actually a bit of a hint. Well, not really. Anyway, they're both equivalence relations, and you can work that out. But I'm just going to assert it for now and move on to the observation about the relations that you get associated to the families of sets you get associated to equivalence relations. And those have a nice property, and that property is that they are partitions. And so I'm going to define partitions and then prove that whenever I start with an equivalence relation and take this A mod R, I end up with a partition. So definition. If I have a non-empty set, then a partition F okay, and I have a family of a subsets of A. Then we call F a partition. Of this set A if it has three properties. And so the first one is pretty easy. It's just that it does not contain the empty set. So remember that empty set is always a subset of a set, but it's not usually an element of a set. And in fact, you might only suspect that it would because this is a set of sets, but it's not usually, and in this case, it's not. Okay, Oh, and by the way, for motivation, you should be looking at these examples over here because these families all turn out to be examples of that. So you should be keeping those in mind. Two, we're going to require that their union, I should be in the right order. Oh yeah, they do it in this order. So if I have two elements of F, E and F are elements of F. Okay, so these are sets now, right? These are subsets of A. Then there are two possibilities. E is equal to F, or they're disjoint. So E intersect F is empty. Okay, so those are the two possibilities, one or the other, okay? And then three, the union of all of them is equal to A. So the union of all these E in my family script F, that's an element symbol, of the E's is equal to A. Okay, so that's the properties. And we can just quickly check that the ones that we did over here have these properties. So let's see. So if we start with this one down here, so every element of the integers, every element here of the integers is in one of these sets, right? So it either looks like it's either three times some number, or it's three times some number plus one, or it's three times some number plus two, right? So each one has that property. So that's this last one, so that's true. We want to see that either they're empty or their intersection is empty or the two are equal. So I can't have a number that's in this set and in that set, right? Because if my number is a multiple of three, then it's not a multiple of three plus one, right? Six is here, but therefore it's not over here. There's no six over here and there's no six over here, right? Okay, and we have three sets and none of them are empty, Okay, so that's all that first one is saying. So none of the three sets we listed were empty sets. Okay, and let's see. So then we can go up and check our other ones. Also here. So the first, last one says that every element, well, every integer is in one of these sets, right? Okay. And the other thing also says that either their intersection is empty or they're equal. Well, I can't have one in one of these sets and in another set, right? It's only in one of them. Okay, and I have these lists. I have the zero singleton, but that has one element. That's not empty. None of these are the empty set. So I'm done. Okay, and similarly up here, this one was an equivalence relation, so it should have those properties. Now, S was not an equivalence relation, so what goes wrong here? So this family should not be a partition. So what is wrong with that?
Two is in the intersection of the sets.
Exactly, right? So these two sets intersect, but they're not the same set, okay? And that's not allowed for one of these partitions. Okay, any questions about the notion of a partition? Okay. So we've actually just computed a whole bunch of them, right? Because that's what we just did. And so that was maybe enough examples. So then let me try to prove the theorem that if I start with an equivalence relation, I end up with a partition, okay? So theorem. And this is 3.3.1. Okay, and it says that if I have an equivalence relation on a non-empty set A, then when I take this mod R, I get a partition. Of my set A. Okay, so sketch. Okay, so I guess we try to understand it as usual. Well, we just did a whole bunch of examples. So see above examples. Okay, we started with some equivalence relations and we did this computation and we ended up with a partition. So that's what we're trying to check. Okay, so then the next thing is, of course, the logic. All right, yeah, let's see. So so we have the data that we have an equivalence relation, and it's an if-then, right? So we have this thing, then that thing. So that's all we have to show. And let's see, and a partition that has three things that we have to check. So we're going to assume this the equivalence relation, then we have to check each of the three things. So the logic is if R... is an equivalence relation, so R is an equivalence relation is going to imply that A mod R is a partition. And this has three properties. So let me see, Q1, Q2, Q3. And this one has also three properties, right? So let me say P symmetric, P reflexive, and P transitive. Okay, so I'm basically gonna assume all three of these things, and I'm gonna try to prove all three of those things, right? So that's essentially the logic of my setup here. Okay, and this one, yeah. Someone might ask, that may have been a while ago, I wasn't paying attention to the chat. Okay. I'm using left side again. So so here we're doing the proof sketch, and we're going to assume these the three properties of an equivalence relation, right? It's symmetric, reflexive, and transitive. And then we're going to try to prove the three properties over here of a partition. So that's going to be the goal. All right, and so so let's just try it. So ideas. Let's try to prove each one of these things. So let's start with the first one. Maybe I should call these instead of 1, 2, and 3. I'll call them QI, QII, and QIII because they correspond to those three properties that I have here. All right, so let me prove each of these. So let me start with QI. So I want to show that the empty set is not in A mod R. Okay, so if I take an element of A mod R, how could I see that it's not the empty set?
And for all X bar does not equal the empty set.
Then we need X bar different from the empty set. Right, that's our goal. And to show that it's not the empty set, we'll have to find some element. Do we know an element that's always related to X?
Yeah, X is always related to X.
That's right, and we're using, as noted in the chat box at the same time you were saying that, we're using the reflexivity because to get to X is related to X. But X is related to X since R is reflexive. So we have that X is in X bar, and therefore it's not the empty set. Okay, so that'll give us the proof. So that's our argument for the first one. Okay, and what about the second one? For Q sub 2, so that's actually, which one's going to be easier? Let me aim for the easy one. So let me try Q sub 3, because that one's now going to be fairly straightforward instead. So Q sub 3, that one says that we have every element in the union. So how do we see that? So I need to show that X is in the union over all these E's. Right. And maybe I shouldn't have called it E, because we have another name for elements here. Let me call it Y bar. Since. Okay, and we can use the same fact we get to the second ago, right? Because we know that it's inside of X bar, since X is in X bar. Okay, so once again, we get we make use of the reflexivity, and that's enough to give us that we've got everything in there. Okay, all right, and then the final bit that we're trying to prove here is that. If Q2, so now we're trying to say that assume, so for all X bar comma Y bar in A mod R, we're trying to show one of two things, right? Oops, that they're equal, or that the intersection is empty. So how can I play with the logic? How can I modify the logic here? I'm trying to show something or something, right? Something implies something or something. If I'm trying to prove an or, how can I rewrite that?
Negate one of them? And negate one of the statements?
Exactly. That's exactly right. I can negate one of them and make that my input. So equivalently, and let me negate this on here. So x bar intersect y bar not equal to the empty set implies that x bar equals y bar. Okay, so that's another way to say it. Okay, and it's probably going to be easier because now I have something that I can assume here, and then I can prove it. It's often easier to do that than to try to prove an or, because with an or you have to kind of keep track. Well, if I'm not in that case, then I'm in that case. There are various cases you keep track of. This is usually cleaner. Okay, so let's just try that. So assume that their intersection is non-empty. So I have z in x bar intersect y bar. Okay, and now we're trying to show that two sets are equal. Okay, so and show that say x bar is contained in y bar. So we also need x bar contains y bar, right? We need both directions. Let's just do one one at a time, like we normally do with equal sets. Okay, so we assume I have a u, which is in x bar, and show u is in y bar. Okay, so then we'll be done. So summarizing what we're assuming, we're gonna assume z is in x bar, z is in y bar, u is in x bar. Okay, and then show u is in y bar. So is it clear that that's the logic that we need here? So that's all the logic. It's kind of complicated, but once we have it, then we can just start plowing through. Okay, and now we can just try to do this. So if so z is in x bar, so this is the same as saying that so remember what x bar is, it's all the things that are related to x. So this is x r z. This one says that y r z. This one says that, oops, I have an extra bar there, haven't I, sorry. This one says that x r u and, okay. And then we want to combine those to get this one, which will follow from, y r u. So that's what we're trying to get. Okay, and let's see. So can anyone see how to do that? I've got a y r something, I've got a something r u. So if I could put that in the middle, then I'd be done, right? So let me try that. Symmetry, I have that z r x, right, from this one here, go the other way. And so by transitivity twice, I have, let's see, so I have y r z and z r x, so I get y r x. And I have YRX and XRU, so I get the YRU, which is what we were trying to show. So, so done. And I get that X bar is a subset of Y bar. Okay, it's kind of long. Does the general outline make sense? I'm out of time now, so I will stop and maybe write it up in detail next time quickly, but you might try it yourself first. So most of it is tracking through all the logic, okay? And then you have to make use, like we did, of the symmetry and the transitivity of our relation. So notice that we've already used the reflexivity a couple times up here, but here we're gonna make use of the symmetry and the transitivity. Okay, I'm out of time, but I will stick around, enjoy the weekend.